Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yudalet. We're at the last line on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Omar of Acha Bar Abba Omar of Yechanan. We discussed upgrading one's clothing, L'Kavod Shabbos. Where do we find this concept in the Torah? That one's attire is meant to reflect the day, the experience at hand. Minayin l'shinu b'gadim min ha-Torah. Where do we find this concept of upgrading one's clothes to reflect, to relate to the experience at hand? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, of pashat es begodov v'lovash begodim achirim. The Torah is speaking regarding the kohen who's going to remove the ashes, export the ashes which accumulate on the mizbeach. He's going to take them out of the Machna, out of Yerushalayim. And the pasuk says he's meant to take off his ordinary bigdei kehuna, v'lovash begodim achirim. He's meant to put on other clothing. Now we're speaking about wearing bigdei kehuna, of course, but evidently the Torah is telling him to go ahead and downgrade the quality of his clothing. When he's engaged in menial labor, when he's exporting the ashes, he's meant to wear clothing of lesser elegance, of lesser significance, less expensive bigdei kehuna, rather than wear the more prominent begadim that he wears ordinarily during the actual avoid in the base of Hamikdash, the akrav of the karbanos. So we see this concept that one's attire is meant to reflect, to relate to the experience at hand. Therefore the karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, which are higher ranking avodos, they need more elegant begadim. So the Torah once again is telling him to downgrade when he goes and exports the ashes. Apparently, during the actual avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he's meant to wear more prominent, more elegant begadim. V'tanat ve'er v'shmol, limdecha Torah derech eretz. Here the Torah teaches you derech eretz. Begadim shebishol behem kederi l'rabbi. The begadim in which a servant cook the dish, the pot for his master. So this is a menial labor. With those same clothing, al yimzik b'hen kais l'rabbi. He should not use those same clothing when he pours the kais, when he directly serves his master. So one is meant to upgrade when he directly engages and serves his master. Likewise, when it comes to the avodah in Beis HaMikdash, during the actual karbanos, being makir the karbanos, pouring the nesachim, which is similar to eating and drinking, serving food and drink to Hashem, so to speak. So that requires more elegant begadim, as opposed to the begadim worn during the Hoitzaas Hadeshen, which is a lower ranking experience, lower ranking service, which is akin to the cooking of the meal, which require a downgrade in the quality of the begadim. Let's see Rashi inside. Up on the top line, beginning with the words Minayin l'shinu begadim shu derech kavod lefnei hamakom, where we find that changing begadim is considered to be a derech kavod. V'lovash begadim achirim v'yitzeis hadeshen hiskikei hakosuv lilbosh begadim pchusim b'shas hayitzeis hadeshen. The Torah required him to downgrade, to wear clothing of lesser quality during the exporting of the deshen. She'ein avodah chashuva, because it's not as prominent, it's not an avodah chashuva. So that the more elegant begadim don't become repulsed. Those begadim which he serves Hashem in the, with the more prominent forms of avodah, avodas achila v'shtiyah, eating, drinking, can go in kitur, makir the karbanis, which is similar to achila v'nisach, pouring of the wine, which is similar to drinking. So there are two points here. Number one, the clothing that he's going to wear during the hakrava of the karbanos are meant to be clean and unsoiled. But if that would be the only reason that he needs to change clothing, then he would simply change after exporting the deshen. So when he goes back to the avodah, to the karbanos, he would go ahead and change to clean clothing. Apparently, it's much more than that. The Torah is telling him, change before you engage in exporting of the deshen. There's another point here. Since the avodah of the karbanos are more prominent and higher ranking, the begadim worn during those karbanos, during those avodahs, are meant to be of higher value, more elegant. So when he goes and engages in exporting the deshen, he's meant to downgrade, switch into lower quality begadim. Continues the Gemara. Continue with the topic of begadim and cleanliness. It's unfitting, unbecoming for a Talmud Chacham she yetzei b'min olim ha-metulam l'shuk, that he should go out wearing patched up shoes. Says the Gemara, V'harab achar achanina nofig. Racham Chanina did go out wearing patched shoes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Nachman, b'tzlai al gabi tzlai. The restriction is merely when there's a patch on top of another patch. That really looks clumsy and unsuitable for a Talmud Chacham, but a single patch, that's okay. V'amar Rav Chiya b'amar Rav Yechanan, kol Talmud Chacham, shenimtza revav al bigdoi. So if a Talmud Chacham has a revav, a grease stain on his beged, chayav misa. Why? Shenemar kol misanai avomamis. All my haters love death. Al tikru misanai ela masniai. Those who cause others to have sinner for me. Explains Rashi that a Talmud Chacham, who is full with Torah, he represents Torah learning. So when he is not particular about the cleanliness of his clothing, so he makes himself, he denigrates himself in the eyes of the masses, and they go ahead and they associate this behavior with Torah, and they say, well, Torah is not something which is attractive and desirable. So by doing this by behaving in this manner, he makes Torah repulsive and puts it in a negative light in the eyes of the Briyas, of the masses. So he's being masnias at Torah, he's making them hate Torah. Continues the Gemara. Ravina Amar, Revad Itmar. So before we said Revav, which means a grease stain, Ravina had a different version, Revad. Revad is referring to a stain of Zera, of Shechah Zera on his clothing. Says Rav Lo Plig, there's actually no dispute here. Habiglima Habilavusha. When Ravina discussed Revad, the stain of Zera, he was speaking about Levusha, which is the inner garment. When the Gemara discussed Revav, the grease stain, that was the glima, the outer garment, which is visible to the public. So even a grease stain, it makes him repulsive. Well, what's he doing wearing a grease stain on his outer beged? He should be more particular about the cleanliness of his clothing. So that's a problem. But if there's a grease stain merely on the inner, on the undergarment, on the inner begadim, where they're not so visible, so even if one notices them, not so terrible. It's not meant to be noticed. So he's not causing them to have sinah for Torah, etc. However, when it comes to revad, a stain of zera, that's a reflection of untidiness and clumsiness. And even if that's found on an inner garment, that makes him repulsive in the eyes of the public. So it depends what garment we're speaking about. On the glima, which is the outer garment, there, even a grease stain is problematic. Whereas blavusha, in the inner garment, over there only a zera stain is a problem. Continues the Gemara of Amar Chiba Amar of Yechanan. My dechsiv, so Hashem is saying regarding Yishayo Anovi, Kasher Holach, Avdi Yishayo, just as my servant Yishayo went orum, unclothed, v'yochif, and barefoot. So this was meant as a sign for what's going to befall, the troubles that are going to befall Mitzrayim and Cush. So the pasuk seems to say that he went without clothing, barefoot, and he went this way in this manner for 3 years. Says the Gemara, how could that be? For 3 years? How could it be literally without clothing, without shoes? Rather, ora means bibgadim bluim, he wore worn out clothing. V'yochef means b'na'olim hametulaim, wearing shoes that were patched up. Tanan hasam, we learned in the Mishnah in Mikvais regarding the halachos of chatzitza. So what is considered to be a chatzitza to prevent, halachically considered to be a barrier from allowing the water to reach the utensil, which will preclude its immersion in the mikvah. One cannot be toivel something which has a chatzitza. So to what extent is something a chatzitza? It's not similar to the Mishnah. Revav al mardas, if there is a grease stain on the mardas, this saddle cloth, which is on the chamar, on the donkey, so even a small size grease stain is something which the owner is particular about, and therefore it's makbid, and therefore it's considered to be a chatzitza. So revav al amardas choytzitz. Rav Shim Gamliel Omer, not a small stain, that's not significant enough. It needs to be a larger stain, atk iser italki. So it needs to be at least the size of an iser italki, which was a certain coin, but up until that point, there's no chatzitza. So this is regarding the mardas. What about a stain found on a beged? Vala begodim? It depends. Mitzad echad any choytetz. If the stain is merely visible on one side of the beggar, then it's not considered to be halachically chatzitza. It's not significant enough. The owner is not makpid on it, and therefore it is batal. It's considered to be subordinate to the beggar, and does not form a barrier from the water reaching the beggar. That's only if it's visible on one side. Mishnei tzadim. But if the stain is deep enough that it's visible on both sides, it's considered to be a more significant stain. Choytetz, it poses a chatzitza. So according to the Tanakhama, regarding a beggar, if it's on one side, it's not a problem. If it's on both sides, then it is a chatzitza. Rabbi Doimim Bishum Rabbi Shmuel, Af Mitzadechot Choytetz, when it comes to a beggar, even if it's only on one side, a person is makbid on a stain found on his clothing, and therefore it poses a chatzitza. Boimene, Rabbi Shmuel Lokshim Rabbi Chanina, Mardas, what about this saddle cloth? Mitzadechot, Oyim Mishnei Tzadim, we spoke about this stain on the saddle cloth. We didn't elaborate whether it is needs to be found on both sides to pose the chatzitza, or if it's merely on one side, is that already considered a chatzitza? Amar le, so Rabbi Chanina responded, you know, I don't really know. Zulay shamati. Regarding this specific question, I didn't hear any clarity. Chayyitzu b'shamati, however, something similar to this I have heard. This non, as we learned, Rabbi Yosi Omer, shel banoin mitzad echad. So we had the Tanakhama, which told us that a beged is only chatzitza if the stain is on both sides. We had Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Shmuel, told us that when it comes to a beged, even a one-sided stain is a chatzitza. Rabbi Yosi has a different version of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. He says, not every beged. It depends. If it's a beged shel banoin, that belongs to the Talmid Chacham, which were more particular at the cleanliness of their clothing, in that case, indeed, mitzad echad, even a stain on one side is a chatzitza. Vishal bor, but of an unlearned fellow who's not so particular about his clothing, mishneid stodim. In that case, only if the stain reaches through the beged and is visible on the other side as well, does it pose a chatzitza. So this is what I heard. Now we can conclude from this. We can apply to mardas. Why? Veloite mardas chashuva mibigdash lamaretz. You cannot say that a mardas, a saddle cloth, is something more significant and more prominent than a beged of Am Aretz. So if when it comes to a beged of Am Aretz, the stain is only reckoned if it is visible on both sides. Certainly the Mardas requires the stain to go through and through to be considered chatzitza. So according to this response, a Mardas is different than a beged. A Mardas needs the stain to go through and through, otherwise it's not a chatzitza. It says, well, my banoin. So Rabbi Yossi says, well, a beged, a stain on a beged, if it's shel banoin, if it belongs to the banoin, then even a one-sided stain is sufficient to be a chatzitza. But from a beged of a boor, of an unlearned fellow, then the stain needs to go through and through. It says, well, my banoin, what exactly are these banoin? Rabbi Yochanan, elu tamid chachamim, she'oiskim b'binyonim shel oilam kol yemei, and these are tamid chachamim that are immersed in Torah, involved in the building of the world. Torah sustains the world. It avails, it gives the opportunity for Hashem to spread His light to His creations. It keeps the world going. So they're called banoin, and indeed they're meant to be more careful, more particular about the cleanliness of their clothing, as mentioned earlier. Therefore, even a small stain, even a stain, a one-sided stain, is considered to be enough to pose a chatzitza. So in summary, we learned about the halacha of chatzitza. On a mardas, as we conclude, it needs to be through and through from both sides. Now, what is the size of the stain which poses a chatzitza on a mardas? According to the Tanakam, even a small stain, according to Shem Gamliel, up to this Isser coin, it's not reckoned with. Only once it reaches the Isser is it considered to be a significant enough stain. Regarding a stain on a beged, we have three shittas. According to the Tanakam, it needs to go through and through. It needs to be Mishnei Tzadim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even on one side, it's considered chatzitza. According to Rabbi Yossi, it depends. If the clothing belonged to the banoim, then even on one side, it's significant. If it belongs to ordinary people, it belongs to the Am Haaretz, for instance, then it needs to go through and through. What are banoim? So the Gemara, they are Talmid HaChamim. The Gemara soon will actually give us another interpretation. It's referring to the clothing worn in the bathhouses, which are required to be extra clean, and therefore they are more particular with them, and even a one-sided stain is significant. continues the Gemara on the topic of Talmid Chachamim. Var Rabbi Yechon, Ezo Talmud Chacham, who is regarded as a Talmud Chacham, Shemachzir Le'Aveda, B'Tzviyas Ayin. We know, generally speaking, one is meant to provide a bona fide siman, a sign to prove that the lost item, the Aveda, is his. But a Talmud Chacham, whose word is reliable, he's a man of integrity. Even if he merely says, look, I recognize this is mine. The halacha is that they are machzir to him in Aveda, but tzviyas ayin, merely through recognition. So who is considered to be a Talmud Chacham with regard to this halacha? Zehamakbid al chalukah lohevchay. This is speaking about a Talmud Chacham who is makbid on his chaluk, on his robe, lohevchay, to overturn it. He sees that he wore it inside out, and the seams are visible on the outside. He goes ahead, and he turns it back in the right way. He doesn't walk around wearing his clothing overturned with the seams visible. He regards himself with self-respect and honor, and certainly his word is reckoned with and is reliable. He's a man of integrity. So this is considered to be a Talmud Chacham with regard to this context, this halacha of returning to Maveda through mere recognition, merely relying on his word. So different levels of a Talmud Chacham. Who is regarded as Talmud Chacham with regard to the concept of that they appoint him as a leader of the tzibur, of the community? This man needs to be a well-learned fellow. This must be a person who, when they ask him advar alachem, anywhere in Shas, and he can respond properly. He's learned all the way. He knows everything. So he can respond anywhere. Even if they ask him something halacha contained in a lesser known mesechta, such as Meseches Kala, even that he knows. His fellow is fully capable, fully knowledgeable, and he's meant to be appointed as a parnas al tzibur. V'ar Rabbi Yechon, Ezo Talmud Chacham, Shebnei Iroi Mitzuvan Lasle Melachti. One is considered to be a Talmud Chacham with regard to the obligation of Bnei Iroi, his fellow city residents, are mitzuvan, obligated lasle melachte, to do his work for him, to give him sustenance, provide him with panasa. Who is this type of Talmud Chacham? Ze shamaniya cheftzoi, one who disregards his own pursuits, v'oisek b'chefte shamayim, and he involves himself in heavenly matters, and spiritual matters, and communal matters, and communal affairs. He's dedicated to the tayelas, to the affairs of the community. This fellow must be supported by the community. V'han emili, this is said, l'mitchach b'rifte, regarding being terech, them burdening themselves for his rifte, for his bread, meaning to supply him his bare necessities, which he doesn't have the opportunity to do on account of his involvement in communal matters. So even though he's not the most learned fellow, but if he's a Talmud Chacham who is totally engaged and immersed in communal matters, he's meant to be supported by the community. V'ar Rabbi Yechon, Ezo Talmud Chacham, who is regarded as a Talmud Chacham? Kol sheshol noisei halacha b'chol makam v'aymra. One who can be asked regarding halacha anywhere, on any topic, v'aymra, and he can respond in kind. L'maynaf k'mina, what is the application here? L'mnu yepanas al tzibur. So this fellow is meant to be appointed as a leader of the community. Now it depends. This is basically what we discussed earlier, but Rabbi Yechon is going to elaborate here. It depends. There are different levels in this itself. If he's well versed in the one mesechta, apparently we're speaking about the mesechta that he's actually currently learning, then ba'asrei, he's meant to be appointed as the leader in his place, in his community. But if he's well versed in all the mesechtas, then he's a much higher, more prominent Talmud Chacham, and therefore b'reish mesifta, he's meant to be appointed as the leader of b'reish mesifta, the head of the yeshiva, on the head of the academy. So this is the discussion regarding Talmud Chacham. And how do we get into this? Because regarding Chatzitza, we spoke about the Begad of Talmud Chacham, the Shalbanoin, which Rabbi Yechon interpreted to mean the Begadim of Talmud Chacham who built up the world, and their Begadim meant to be clean. Even a less significant, less prominent stain is reckoned with and is considered to be a Chatzitza. So let's make a quick summary regarding the different levels of Talmud Chacham. So firstly, we spoke about the shoes of a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is not meant to wear shoes outside which have patches on top of patches. We discussed the cleanliness of his begadim. And the Gemara told us that the outer beged is meant to be free of even revav of grease. The inner beged, at least, it shouldn't have revav, a stain of zera. We discussed various levels of Talmud Chachamim. A Talmud Chacham was makbed al chalukah, that the seams are not visible. This fellow, we are machzir and aved, even if he merely recognizes it. A Talmud Chacham who can be asked anywhere on any topic, he's meant to be appointed Rosh Hashiva. A Talmud Chacham who is knowledgeable on that Masechta, he's meant to be a Rosh Bim Kaima in his neighborhood. And Zmar told us, even a lesser learned Talmud Chacham, but if he's Oysa B'chavsi Shamayim, he's involved in communal affairs, Oysen Loi Parnasasai, then his fellow residents are meant to supply him with his sustenance. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to the Chatzitza, where we learned about the begadim of Shal Banoim, in that case, even a one-sided stain is significant. Rabbi Yechon said Banoim means Talmid Chachamim. We have another opinion. Rav Shimon Melakash Amar, Elu Kelim Ho'ol Yoren Haboim Emdinas Hayam. These are the garments, the Olyarim, which belong to the bathhouse operators. So these garments were made of higher quality material, Haboim Emdinas Hayam, which were brought from abroad. And regarding these begadim, they were meant to stay clean, and they were very particular about them. And even a small stain, even only a one-sided stain, is considered to be makvid and poses a chatzitz. Says Gemara Lememra, do you mean to say the chivri ninu, that they were white-colored garments? Because otherwise, why would they care so much about a small stain? So apparently they're white. Va'amar lu Rabbi Yana lebanav. Didn't Rabbi Yana tell his children? He told Laban of his sons, Banai, my sons, Al tik beruni, don't bury me, lo yibikeim lebanim, not with white garments, lo yibikeim shchirim, nor with black garments. Why? Lebanim, don't bury me with white clothing, because shema lo yeska, perhaps I will not be zoiche, and I will sit amongst the those who are in Gehenim, as Rashi says, they're black colored. And if I wear white, I'll stick out like a sore thumb. I'll look like a chassan who wears white. Between mourners who wear black. So don't dress me in white. Shechirim, likewise, don't dress me in black. Perhaps. Shemay eska, I will be zoiche. And I will end up in Gan Eden where everyone's wearing white. And if you dress me in black, I will be ka'avil ben chassanim. I'll appear like a mourner wearing black amongst chassanim. So don't dress me in white nor in black. Ella, something in the middle. Bekalim ho yarin, haboim dinasayam. Dress me with those kalim ho yarim of the bathhouse operators, which are used in the bathhouses. So Alma, apparently sumkininu, they're red. So how can you say that they're white? Says Gemara Leikashia, it's not difficult. Habiglimi, habilavushi. There are two types of begadim worn in the bathhouses. There were the outer ones, the glimi, the outer robes. As Rashi says, they were sumki, they were red. Hobe levushi. Levushi is the inner clothing. They were white. So Rav Shimon Lashes tells us that the white begadim worn in those bathhouses, they're meant to be free of any stains. So even if they only have a stain on mitzad echad, it's considered chatzitza. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Oyel Oyman Mekaplin. So getting back to the Mishnah where Rav Shmuel told us that Yom Kippur is considered to be less severe, on a bit lower level than Shabbos, and therefore one can prepare for Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Likewise, when it comes to the karbanis, one may go ahead and be makir the leftover carbon which was brought on Shabbos. He may bring those chalavim, those leftover fats, and offer them on Yom Kippur, which falls out after Shabbos. Tanu Rabban, Oila Shabbos b'Shabbatai, this is discussing the carbon tamid on Shabbos. Now these words seem to be superfluous. Oyla Shabbos Shabbatai. So we learn a drasha. The pasuk is coming to include something, a riboy, as well as to exclude something, a miyut. So we have a riboy and a miyut. So Bishmol's approach is that the pasuk is coming to teach limit al chelvei Shabbos shekrev miyom kippurim. The Torah which says that Oyla Shabbos is to be offered b'Shabbatai, it means that the chelvei Shabbos, the leftover fats from the carbon which was brought on Shabbos, Oyla Shabbos, Shekrev Yom Kippurim is going to be brought, going to be makriv them, b'Shabbatai, So Shabbat is referring to Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. So we see that the Chalav Mos Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur. Apparently Yom Kippur is considered to be of a lesser, less, a little bit less prominent than Shabbos. As the Farshim explained, because the Einish of a Aveir on Shabbos is Skila, which is a penalty which is applied by Bezin, as opposed to the Einish of a Aveir on Yom Kippur, which incurs Karis, which is merely Bidei Shemayim. So Shabbos is regarded as most significant. Indeed, the Rishmal sources it from this Pasuk, where we see that the Karbanos of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur. Yochel, perhaps I would think, Afshal Yom Kippur B'Shabbos, that the leftover carbon of Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, let's say, that the leftovers can be brought on Shabbos on the following day, Talmud Lomer B'Shabbatoy. This is a miut. Oyla Shabbos B'Shabbatoy. So the Pasuk here is excluding something, that only the Shabbos carbon could be brought on Yom Kippur, but not in the reverse. Divrei Bishmol. So Bishmol comes out that Shabbos is considered to be a higher madrega, a more prominent, significant day than Yom Kippur. Therefore, the carbon of Shabbos is brought on Yom Kippur, but the carbon of Kippur is not to be brought on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, he holds Shabbos and Yom Tov on the same level. Oila Shabbos B'Shabbate, what does it teach us? There's a ribui and a miut. So the ribui is limeit. The Pasuk teaches us al chelvi Shabbos shekreven bi Yom Tov. The Pasuk is teaching us if Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos, then the leftover fats from the carbon brought yesterday on Shabbos can be brought that night, even though it's Yom Tov. So Oila Shabbos B'Shabbatai, according to Rabbi Kiva, B'Shabbatai is referring to Yom Tov. And the Oila Shabbos can be brought B'Shabbatai Yom Tov. Yochel Af Yom Kippur, and perhaps even bringing those fats on Yom Kippur, which follows Shabbos, are permissible. Talmud Loima B'Shabbatai, we have an exclusion, a miut. Only the Chel B'Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov, but not on Yom Kippur. So according to Rabbi Kiva, the conclusion is that Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered to be on the same turf, on the same level. There's no source to derive the discrepancy between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The Pasuk is simply telling us that the Oila of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Shetim Tzalayma, when you properly analyze their opinions and delve into the basis and the background of why Rabbi Shmuel approached it his way and Rabbi Kiva took his approach, so you'll figure out as follows. L'divrei Rabbi Shmuel, N'dorim N'dov is krev Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, a nether, a nadava, a carbon which a person is bringing as a vow, nadava as a donation, one can bring them on Yom Tov. There's a discussion in Maseches Beita regarding these carbonates, because really they're not time sensitive. Why is he bringing it specifically on Yom Tov? So the machlek is whether or not a person can bring his nadarim and nadavas on Yom Tov. So apparently, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel maintains that one may bring a nether or nadava on Yom Tov. So there's no need for the pasuk to tell us that if there are leftover fats from the Shabbos carbon of yesterday, you can bring it on Yom Tov. Certainly, of course, if you can bring a nether and a dove, which are not time-based at all, you can bring them on Yom Tov. Certainly, the leftover fats from a carbon which was brought yesterday on Shabbos, which was absolutely time-related, certainly that can be brought on Yom Tov. There's no need for the Pasuk to tell us that. So therefore, apparently the Pasuk, which is coming to include something, v'chi itzrich kro liyom kippurim, apparently the Pasuk is needed for a different halacha to tell us that you can bring those fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. So that's where Rabbi Shmuel arrives at his conclusion. However, L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, Nedarim and Davis ain't craving Yom Tov. He holds they cannot be brought on Yom Tov. Therefore, the Pasuk here is required to teach us, V'chi Yitzrach Kro, what do we need the Pasuk for? L'mishra B'Yom Tov, to allow you to bring those fats of Shabbos, of the yesterday's Shabbos carbon, to bring them on Yom Tov, because ordinary Nedarim and Davis can't be brought on Yom Tov. So the Pasuk is needed to tell you, but the Shabbos carbon, that can be brought on Yom Tov. Therefore, there's no Pasuk available regarding Yom Kippur. So he has no source about the Shabbos carbon being brought on Yom Kippur. And therefore, he concludes that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are regarded as equals, and one cannot bring the carbon of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So in summary, from the Pasuk of Oilas Shabbos V'Shabbatai, we derive two things, a riboy and a miut. Rabbi Shmuel's approach is that the ribui is coming to teach us that the chelvei Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur. The miut tells us that the chelvei Yom Kippur cannot be brought on Shabbos, because according to him, Shabbos is considered to be a more prominent day than Yom Kippur. Rabbi Kiva maintains the pasuk is coming to teach us something entirely different. The ribui tells us that the chelvei Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov. The Mir tells us that the Chalva Shabbos cannot be brought on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abzeira, Ki Avina beBavel. When I lived in Bavel, I learned Torah in Bavel prior to arriving to Eretz Yisrael. Have Amri. I used to explain the concept of the following brisa as follows. Ha the Sanya. This that the following brisa says. Yom Kippurim Shechol Liyos BeErev Shabbos. Yom Kippur that falls on Erev Shabbos. Why are you taken? They wouldn't blow the shofar. Ube Motzei Shabbos, when Yom Kippur fell out on Motzei Shabbos, lo yom avdil, they did not do avdolah. So the point of tkiyah on Erev Shabbos, we learned this earlier in Masechta Shabbos, Naf Lamed Hey, they would build a shofar to herald in the upcoming Shabbos, to indicate to all that there's a Shabbos coming, one is meant to refrain from doing malacha. So tkiyah was employed generally when the upcoming event, the upcoming day, was a more significant, a more severe, more prominent day, which had more restrictions, for instance. So the Braisa tells us that if Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos, there was no need to make Tekiah. Likewise, when Yom Kippur falls on Matzah Shabbos, there was no Abdullah. Abdullah generally symbolized the passing of a holy day, of a more prominent day. It was meant to highlight the contrast between the day, the more prominent day that passed, and the coming day, which is of a lower prominent, lower level day. So on Yom Kippur that falls out Matzah Shabbos, there was no Abdullah performed. Says Reb Zera, I interpreted the content of this brisa. I said divrei akoyli. This brisa reflects all shittos. It's an anonymous brisa. It goes according to Rishmal, goes according to Reb Kiva. Because there was no need to make tkiyah on Erev Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is Asur B'Malacha, Shabbos is Asur B'Malacha. Likewise, there's no need to make Abdullah Matzah Shabbos, because Shabbos and Yom Kippur are both days which are Asur B'Malacha. So I figured this brisa reflects all shittas. However, Kisalikin al-Hassam, when I went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashechite, I encountered Li Yehuda, Breder, Shimon Pasi, the Yosef, who was sitting with Kama, and he was saying as follows, Rabbi Kiwi, this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva exclusively, who holds that Yom Kippur and Shabbos both have the same dinim. One cannot go ahead and, for instance, be makir the fats of the Shabbos carbon on Yom Kippur. Therefore, there's no point of making an itkiyos, because the point of itkiyos is to indicate a discrepancy between the lower, less prominent day and the more restrictive day. According to him, Yom Kippur and Shabbos are considered to be days of equal restriction, equal iser. Therefore, there's no point to make a tkiyah. However, the ira be Shmuel, because if this brisa would indeed be found with Shmuel's shita, it wouldn't work. Kiv and the Amar, since the Shmuel said, Chel be Shabbos, krev Yom Kippurim, since the Shmuel says that the chalavim of Shabbos are brought on the following day, on Yom Kippur that falls out after Shabbos. If so, litka, let them go ahead and blow in the case where Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos to indicate, look, Shabbos is coming. Shabbos, which is more restrictive. Shabbos, which is considered to be a higher, a more prominent day. A day of more Kedusha, more Isser. Let them make it Tkiyah. Why? Because this will indicate to the public that Yom Kippur is on a lower level than Shabbos. And if there is ever the chalavim, leftover fats from a carbon of Shabbos, one may bring it on the following day Yom Kippur. Now, even though this year, when Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos, there's actually no practical application of this halacha, because Yom Kippur is before Shabbos. So there are no leftover fats from Shabbos being brought on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, there's a point to be tekeah, to make that indication that, generally speaking, Yom Kippur is on a lower level than Shabbos, so that in the coming year, if Yom Kippur falls out on Matzah Shabbos, they should know that if there are leftover fats from the Shabbos carbon, you can bring in Yom Kippur. So apparently this brisa, which does not subscribe to any tekiyos on Yom Kippur that falls out on Erev Shabbos, is not following, does not reflect Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Again, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Shmuel, Kivan the Amar Chalvi Shabbos, Krev Yom Kippurim, since he holds that the Chalvi Shabbos are brought on Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur falls out, Amatzah Shabbos, Lidka, if so, let them blow when Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, to indicate that Shabbos is considered to be a higher, a more restricted day. Ki Eichid Lavi Yadi, so they should know, they should have an indication, the Chalvi Shabbos, Krev Yom Kippurim, that in the following year, when Yom Kippur falls out Matzah Shabbos, the Chalav Mas Shabbos can be brought in Yom Kippur. So this is what he was saying. Apparently this price reflects Rabbi Kiva and Arishmo. V'amina le'alo ano, as Rabbi Zeir is speaking, I responded to him, if that was the reason for the Tkiyah, there would be no Tkiyah. Why? Kahanim's reason, the Kahanim which were involved in the Avoy, there was reason, they were conscientious, well-learned fellows, scholarly fellows, they knew what they were doing. There would be no need to make a Tkiyah specifically to indicate to the Kahanim regarding the halachas of the Akrav of the Chelav. That wouldn't be a need, that wouldn't be a reason to require Tkiyah. So indeed, this Braisa could be found in Rabbi Shmuel Shita, who holds Yom Kippur is considered to be on a lower level than Shabbos. Why didn't they blow to teach regarding the Chelav? What do you need to teach the Kahanim? They know on their own. Amalei Mark Shisha, Breda of Chizal Ravashi. Mi Amrinon Kahanim's reasoning. Do we apply this concept of Kahanim's reason and we don't blow for them? V'atana, and haven't we learned in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is describing, listening for us, the many blows, the many tekiyas that were conducting the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says as follows, Shalosh. So the three of those tekiyas, which took place on the Erev, on Erev Shabbos, was Lahavtil Esa Amim Malacha, in order to indicate to the to the public, that they're meant to refrain from Malacha coming Shabbos. Shalosh, three blows, will have to make Kodesh L'chol, to actually go ahead and indicate that Shabbos is right here, now we're meant to separate between Kodesh and L'chol. So where were these tkiyas done? In the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, the Beis HaMikdash needs to know, the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash need to know that Shabbos is coming. They need to have those tkiyas to give them the indications. So we see that even in the Beis HaMikdash, we did tkiyas for the Kahanim. Says the Gemara, no, that wasn't for the purpose of educating the Kahanim. Could the Amar Abayi, just as Abayi said regarding a different topic when they had this gold plate, which was hanging by in the Beis HaMikdash, which was meant to deflect the rays of the sun to indicate that the time of reading Shema has arrived. So Abayi said, it wasn't meant for the Kahanim. They didn't need these signs. They would know on their own. It was meant l'sh'ar amad b'Yerushalayim. It was meant for the rest of the folks, the rest of the people in Yerushalayim. Hachanami here as well regarding the tkiyas in the Beis HaMikdash, even though they took place in the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't really directed at the Kahanim. Hachanami l'sh'ar amad b'Yerushalayim was needed for the rest of the people in Yerushalayim. Okay, says the Gemara. Fine. So they didn't need to do the tkiyah for the Kahanim. However, there was a need to make a tkiyah, even according to Rabbi Kiva. Who are the Boshitas? Rishma Rabbi Kiva says the Gemara, there is a need to blow a shofar. When? When Yom Kippurim falls out on Erev Shabbos. Why? In order to indicate that there is some leniency which is contained in Yom Kippur and not on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Litka, let them blow. Ki eicha de liyadi, teicha de lady, that they should know. Deshari b'knivas yorak min ha-michal mal. This was a special allowance. Knivas yorak means trimming of the leaves off the vegetables to prepare them for cooking on Yom Kippur. So Allah, generally speaking, one is not meant to make a chana prepare from a Shabbos to a weekday, from Yom Kippur to a weekday. But Rashi explains, the Chacham applied a special leniency regarding preparing vegetables on Yom Kippur, min ha-mincha l'mala, from the mincha time and on, which is 9.5 hours into the day and on, of course we're speaking at Shoy Zmanis. So from mincha l'mala, one can go ahead and prepare those vegetables. Why? Because the point of Yom Kippur is v'nisim es nafshei seichem. One is meant to have agony, pain, discomfort. Getting involved in food preparation so close to the end of Yom Kippur where a person begins anticipating the upcoming meal. So he gets involved in preparation, but he can't partake in it. This adds to his inui, to his pain and discomfort. David HaChacham did away with the Isser of Achana, which generally applies, and they allowed him to prepare, since it adds to the Agmas Nefesh, to the agony. So this is a leniency which is specific to Yom Kippur. It says more, let them blow, to indicate that the upcoming day, Shabbos, following Yom Kippur, is a more stringent form of day, which does not contain this allowance, as opposed to Yom Kippur, where this allowance is applied. Says Rav Litzka, let him blow, ki yecha the lady, so they should know the shari, that Yom Kippur is a day of lesser severity with regard the shari. I should know that it's allowed, that it's mutar, b'knivas, yorak, v'nam rechol amal. Yom Kippur is a day where one is allowed to trim the vegetables. Amrav Yosef, that wouldn't be a reason to blow the shofar. Blowing shofar is actually a shvus, it's a drabbanon. Lefi, because she ain't doich and shvus, Chacham did not do away a shvus, like blowing the shofar, lahater, simply to indicate, to notify the public about a permissibility, about a heter. This wouldn't be reason enough to allow blowing the shofar. So this is one answer. Rav Shishi ben Arvid Amar, he gave a different approach. Why would they not blow for this reason? Let's analyze. When is this heter applicable? Certainly not this year. When Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, it's not practical, because there's no point in preparing vegetables on Yom Kippur late afternoon. You can't cook it tonight. Tonight's Shabbos. So the only point for blowing would be for a different year, as an indication to educate the public regarding a different year, that one may go ahead and prepare vegetables Yom Kippur. Says Rav Shishi ben Arvidi, Shvus kroy v'hitiru. Chacham only allowed a shvus, blowing a shofar, for an immediate heter, something which is an immediate benefit. Shvus rechoika, to allow a shvus for a distant benefit, something in the future. Lo yitiru, that wouldn't be reason enough to allow the shvus. So that's why they wouldn't blow on Yom Kippur that falls out on Erev Shabbos, because at most it's coming to teach us that there's some sort of heter in the distant future. This is not reason enough to allow a shvus. Says the Gemara, but a shvus which indicates, which notifies regarding an impending heter, an immediate benefit, that they would allow, ushvus kroivi yitiru, batanan, having in the Mishnah, Yom Tov shecholei is Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, they would blow to indicate that the oncoming Shabbos is a day of more prominence. It's a more prominent day. It's a more restrictive day. But they would not do Havdalah, because Havdalah is just the opposite. It indicates that the passing day, the day that is already passed, is considered to be a higher level day. So Yom Tov Shabbos, they would do Tkiya to herald in the upcoming Shabbos, but no Havdalah. Moitzoy Shabbos, if Yom Tov falls out on Moitzoy Shabbos, Mavdilin, they would make Havdalah. The Nusach is Mavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. Why? Because Shabbos is considered to be on a higher level than Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you're allowed to do Malacha for Echel Nevesh, for food preparation. So Havdalah was in place, V'loy Toiken, certainly not Tkiya, which usually indicates that the new day is a higher level. Says the Gemara, so we understand why on Erev Shabbos they would blow, because Shabbos is considered to be a higher level day, because Malachas of Eichel Nefesh are Asr. So the Tekiah was meant to indicate that Shabbos is considered to be more prominent than the passing day in Yom Tov. Likewise, on Matzah Shabbos, they would make Abdullah to indicate that the passing Shabbos was a higher level day, a more prominent day than the upcoming Yom Tov day. Says the Gemara, V'amai Litzka, on Matzah Shabbos, if Yom Tov falls out on Matzah Shabbos, they should go ahead and blow. Why? Ki yecha d'lidi, so that the public knows the shari b'shchita la'altar. It's Yom Tov. One may engage in malachis for food preparation. One may go ahead and shech the animal. Go ahead, get involved in preparing the meal, Simchas Yom Tov. There's a reason to make tekiah. And here, it's an immediate benefit. It's for right here and now. So why didn't they make a tekiah? If you say that a shvus kareva, they allowed a shvus for something of immediate benefit, why didn't they allow it in this case? Ela machvartok, the Rav Yosef, says the Gemara, rather, the clarity, the true approach is, in accordance with Rav Yosef's approach, the reason why they wouldn't blow on Yom Kippur that fell out on Erev Shabbos was simply because, what's the point of blowing? To indicate that permissibility of preparing the vegetables, Chacham would not allow a shvus, to be conducted, blowing a shofar, simply for the sake of notifying a heter. Likewise, in this case, when Yom Tov falls on a Matzah Shabbos, they wouldn't go ahead and blow the shofar simply to indicate that one can go ahead and be sheikh of the karbanos, because they did not allow a shvus for the sake of notifying a heter. So in summary, we learned about Yom Tov that fell out on Erev Shabbos. There was a tkiah performed to indicate that the upcoming day, Shabbos, is a more restricted day. One is also to engage in food preparation, in melachos of Eichel Nefesh, in contrast to the passing day, which was Yom Tov, in which Eichel Nefesh was mutter. If Yom Tov falls out on Matzah Shabbos, we are mavdil to indicate that the passing day, Shabbos, was a more restricted day, and Yom Tov, the upcoming Yom Tov, is the day where preparation for Eichel Nefesh is allowed. The Gemara told us they would not blow the shofar to indicate that one can go ahead and be shoichet a behemoth for the Suda of Yom Tov. Why? Because blowing is a shvus. They did not allow a shvus for the sake of notifying a heter. What if Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos? We learned that there was no tkiah conducted. Because although perhaps it would be a need to make a tkiah to indicate that Shabbos is considered to be more restrictive than Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur one may go ahead and prepare those vegetables in contrast to Shabbos. But the reason then again is that a shvus for the sake of notifying a heter was not conducted. If Yom Kippur falls on Matzah Shabbos, there was no Havdalah. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Zera, Omer Rav Huna. The Amala, some say it was Omer Rav Abba, Omer Rav Huna. This is again regarding the halacha of preparing vegetables, where on Yom Kippur it's mutter, but on Shabbos it's also. What about Yom Kippurim Shechal Yes B'Shabbos? So Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So on the one hand, on Yom Kippur, it's mutter. On the other hand, on Shabbos, it's asr. So they both come together. What is the halacha? Can one prepare those vegetables late afternoon? Says the Gemara, Yom Kippur, Shechal Yes B'Shabbos, asr b'knivas yorek. One cannot go ahead and trim those vegetables. Says the Gemara, Amar Avmana, Tana. We learned in the Braisa, or there's a Gersa, the Bach says, Tani Amihachi. We learned the same in the following Braisa, Menayim Yom Kippurim, Shechal Yes B'Shabbos. How do we know if Yom Kippur falls down on Shabbos, she'asur b'knivas yorek? One may not go ahead and trim those vegetables. Tamar Loimar Shabbosin. The pasuk is describing resting on Shabbos, and the pasuk uses the word Shabbosin. What is the meaning of this extra word Shabbosin? Shvois. You meant to rest on Shabbos. So it's more lemai. What activity is this pasuk referring to? Ilim lemalacha. The pasuk is referring to doing actual malacha. For instance, trimming vegetables off the earth. So he's detaching vegetables. Says the Gemara v'aksiv, lo'is ha'asukam malacha. How can we say that the Braisa here is coming to tell you that one may not go ahead and detach vegetables off the ground? It's a pasuk, it's a law that says lo'is ha'asukam malacha. Why do we need that extra pasuk of Shabbosin to teach us that? El olav, apparently the Braisa says that the word Shabbosin is coming to tell you shvois, rest, even from trimming those vegetables. What is the Braisa referring to? Alalav aknivas yorak. Apparently the Braisa is referring to trimming detached vegetables. He's not actually doing a malacha, detaching vegetables min ha-mechubar from the ground. We're speaking about detached vegetables. The Braisa tells us that the pasuk Shabbosin teaches us that on Shabbos one is meant to rest even from this form of labor, even from trimming vegetables, and it also min ha-toyr. Shmamina, indeed we hear from here, that one may not go ahead and trim those vegetables, it is also min ha-toyr. On Shabbos, so if Shabbos falls out on Yom Kippur, one may not go ahead and prepare those vegetables. Because here, it involves the Issa Minat Torah. Because it's Shabbos. Now this pasuk of Shabbosin is strictly for Shabbos. As Rashi points out, this will not apply to an ordinary Yom Kippur. The point on ordinary Yom Kippur is, V'nisim Samshay Seichem, one is meant to engage in inoy, in agony, and in pain and discomfort. And as we said earlier, preparing those vegetables actually add to one's discomfort. Therefore, on an ordinary Kippur, one may prepare those vegetables. On an ordinary Shabbos, we have a pasuk which doesn't allow it. And therefore, if Shabbos and Yom Kippur fall out together, one cannot go ahead and trim those vegetables. Omer Chiba Abba Omer Yechanan, he has an opposing view. Yom Kippur Shecholis B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, Mutar B'Knivas Yorak, one may go ahead and trim those vegetables. Because he holds that trimming vegetables on Shabbos is not also min ha-Torah. It's only a shvus because he's preparing for the weekday. Now the Chacham allowed, did away with the shvus when it's Yom Kippur because it adds to the agony, to the pain, to the Agmas Nefesh. Therefore they allowed it. Meisvei, says the more we have a kasha from this Brice, Menayin Yom Kippur. Shecholi is b'Shabbos. She'asu b'Knives Yorok. How do we know that if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, oh, may not go out and trim those vegetables? Tamalam Shabbosain. Shvois. You must rest. Now, this is the Brisa. Lemay. Now, when the Brisa speaks about the Isser of trimming vegetables, Lemay, what is it referring to? Ilema Lemalacha. Is the Brisa referring to actually trimming vegetables off the ground, which is a Melacha Menatera? There's no need for an additional pasuk of Shabbosain Shvois. We have a pasuk, a law, a prohibition against doing a malacha on Shabbos. Elo law, apparently, what is the Brisa speaking about? Biknemes Yorok, going out and trimming the vegetables. And the Brisa is telling us that even Knemes Yorok is included in the Isser of Shabbos and Shabbos. Says, no. The Brisa is discussing actually doing a malacha. Knemes Yorok means trimming vegetables off the ground, detaching them off the ground. Malacha de Brisa. If so, why do we need that additional pasuk of Shabbos? And we already know, look, Sasek HaMalacha, says the Gemara, to teach us that not only is there a lav, there's an assay as well. There's a double isser here. V'laver aleha, be'essay, v'lais essay. In order to add another restriction, another isser essay, if a person detaches something off the ground, not only is it over, on a lois essay, lois Sasek HaMalacha, there's an additional prohibition based on the essay of Shabbos, which teaches us Shvois. But certainly trimming vegetables, which are already detached, there's no issue whatsoever in the Torah, even on Shabbos. It only involves the issue of Rabbanan of Achana preparation, which is a Shvus Rabbanan, which was done away with when it is actually Yom Kippur, on account of the added pain and discomfort that it causes a person. So even if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, this is Mutter. Says the Tanika, we have a Brice in support of Rabbi Yechanan. Yom Kippur Shecholi is b'Shabbos. Even if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, Mutar b'Knives Yorok. Trimming vegetables are Mutar. Let's keep over the parentheses. Mefatzim be'goyzim. When we crack nuts, when we farachasim remoinim, when we peel pomegranates, mina mincho lamala. Mepnei agmas nefesh, because it adds agmas nefesh, pain and discomfort. So apparently, even on Shabbos, it's not asim na Torah. Merely mid rabbanon, since it's considered to be hachana for the weekdays. But if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, they did away with that iser. Because it adds agmas nefesh. Continues the Gemara, Devei Rav Yehuda, in the house of the Rav Yehuda, Mekan v'Karva, they trimmed cabbage. Devei Rabba, in the houses of Rabba, Gardi Kari, they would scrape, they cut the pumpkins on Yom Kippur. However, Kivan the Chaza, once Rabba noticed that become a charfi, that they would advance, they began prior to the permitted time. So he wanted to stop this practice, but he had difficulty because he had already told them they can prepare vegetables in Yom Kippur. So he devised a plan. Amalui told him, "Us igus marav." A letter came from West Meretz Yisrael, Mishmeder of Yechanan, in the name of Yechanan, the Osir, that one is not allowed to prepare vegetables on Yom Kippur altogether. This way, they would cease from their practice. So in summary, trimming vegetables on Shabbos is Osir, either midrabbanan because of Hachana, or according to one sheet of the Gemara, it's Osir midaraisa, due to the pasuk of Shabbos. Trimming on Yom Kippur, mina minchal malas muta, because it adds agmas nefesh. On Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, we have machlokes, and it's really based on the question of whether the Isser on Shabbos is midrabbanan, in which case, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it's mutter. Or if the Isser on Shabbos is based on the Torah, Isser not Torah, in which case, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it is Usser as well. Hadran aloch ve'eluk shar. Good time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara told us that one's attire is meant to reflect the event. The kohen doing the karbanis in the Beis Hamikdash meant to have big day kahuna of higher value, higher quality. We learned that the beggar of a Talmud Chacham is meant to be clean. His shoes are not meant to have those double patches. We learned about different levels of scholarship of a Talmud Chachamim regarding different contexts. Regarding a chatzitza on a mardas, on a saddle cloth of a donkey, if the stain goes through, it is visible on both sides, then it's considered to be a chatzitza for tefillah. How large is stain? According to the Tanakam, even a small stain, according to Shalom Galil, needs to be the size of a coin of a Isser. Regarding a stain on a beged, we have three shittes. According to the Tanakam, the stain needs to be visible on both sides, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even on one side, according to Rabbi Yosi, the beged of the banoin, which are meant to be cleaner, even a one-sided stain is sufficient. Who are banoin? We have two versions, either Talmid Chachamim, who maintain, who keep up the world, or those articles of clothing used in the Beis HaMerchat, so banoin means bei bani, used in the Beis HaMerchatz, which are meant to be exceptionally clean. We learned about the pasuk Oyla Shabbos Shabbatai, which contains a ribi and a miyut, according to Rishmol. The ribi is that the chelva Yom Kippurim are brought on Shabbos, not in reverse. According to Rekiva, is coming to include the Chalvei Shabbos, which are Baron Yantav, but Shabbos on Yom Kippur, a regard on the same level. We learned about the concept of Tkiyah, which heralds in a day which is more restricted, and Havdalah, which is meant to differentiate between the passing day, which is of higher stature. So if Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, they would do a Tkiyah to indicate that Shabbos was on a higher level. Yom Tov falls out on Matzah Shabbos, they would make Havdalah. Regarding Yom Kippur that falls out either Erev Shabbos or Matzah Shabbos, there was no Tkiyah and no Havdalah. We learned about trimming vegetables. On Shabbos, it was Aser. On Yom Kippur, Minam Minchol Malam Mutter. On Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, we have a Machlekes.